This is a Pinball News production.
All right, I'll give a quick story about the Doc Pinball. An 8-year-old kid gave me that nickname. I went in to do a repair. I have a handlebar mustache. I have a hat. The father said, I fixed the game, and the kid was just ecstatic. And he said, the father said, see, he's the pinball cowboy. And the kid, without batting an eye, said, no, Dad, he's Doc Pinball. He's like Doc Holliday making his last stand on the pinball machines. And that stuck, and that was in 2001 or 2000. And that was when I started this. So today we're going to talk about the American side, or what we like to call the movie business, Ready, Set, Action. Earlier this year, I was contacted to retheme a pinball machine. I contacted them back, and due through Facebook and a couple other things, the American side movie was going to be made. We sent them an idea. I had a pinball machine completely fixed, ready to go, broken back glass, cabinet needed to be repainted. You know, it'd be perfect to retheme the game. They contacted me back about a week later saying, I made a deal for them. I said, listen, I'll help you retheme it. I'll be on staff. I'll do everything. The only thing is, once the game movie's over with, I get the machine. They were really excited about it, but lo and behold, somebody else had come in and already offered them a machine. They're already retheming it. They didn't need my services. Okay. I told them, you're going to be filming in Buffalo, so if there's any problem with the machine, just give me a call. Well, sure enough, a week into production of the movie, the art director and the rest of the technical staff has called me in to fix this machine, which was in the American side. Let's show you some pictures real quick. I'll run these in the background. It was a Gottlieb Aztec. Williams, yeah, sorry, not Gottlieb. Of course, they named it the American Daredevil. The theme of the American Daredevil is to kind of generate it enough that it would show it's from Niagara Falls or Buffalo area. They did their own back glass. This was actually a Pexi. It's quite ingenious. However, she did a lot of dark outs, so the glass didn't really shine in the picture. In fact, the back of the glass was a ton of blacked out area. So I came in, I said, well, you need to jazz that up for film production. And I said, what you need is a 455 bulbs. 455 bulbs are original flashers that will fit in any 47 or 45 bayonet mount. And will just flash. It will just twinkle. Okay. So this is some of the shots of the playfield. What they did was they made a screen over it, and then they put it down on the Aztec, and then she threw dirt on it to make it look old. And I was like, really? And they cut around everything. So it was a little bit hokey, but they used soft focus on the filters, so it looked good. So here they also rethemed the side. The reason they're retheming this pinball is they could not, for legal reasons, show the machine, say, Williams or any other manufacturer on it, so they wanted to make sure it was just completely generic. But to the core, the main star and the director are big pinball fanatics, and they did not want to upset the hobby, so they wanted to make sure the game worked stellar. They thought the cabinet looked great on film. It does. Here's some scene shots of the exterior of another room. There was a gigantic warehouse in Buffalo that used to build cars for Pierce Arrow back in the 1900s. They used this as the set. They got a deal with New York State to be able to come in and film. So they made a lot of their exteriors, and you're going to see the famous tubes. I call it the Daredevil, the over-the-barrel kind of mechanism. Now, real quick, I want to pause this here. So the other technician on the film did something. Oops, hang on. I'll go back one. He did something a little bit crazy. Do you see these little wires? They look like monofilament. They are. He didn't know how a pinball machine worked. So the best way he could rig the machine to work is to make it like a marionette. So there were hundreds of little fishing lines going to relays. And he would sit in the back of the machine with his fingers trying to control it to do different marionetting to make the machine work correctly. Well, needless to say, they started filming and it didn't look right. It didn't work right. So I went in, I cut out all the monofilament line. I said, that's enough of this. And we did a bunch of other little tricks. Basically, I said, if you want this machine to work correctly on the film, let us do a telephone wire. So I connected telephone wires to a couple switches to some high points so that we could run the telephone wire out the back of the machine, back around, so that while we're playing it, we can hit 500, 1,000, 10,000. We can just keep rolling on this machine so that people would like, they think, oh, this guy's doing really good. When you see the screen, it's kind of a trick that they use for the movie Tilt with Brooke Shields back in the 70s, that they would have all the switches for the points, and that way the machine just kept rolling around. So that's what we did. We cut the wires, this monofilament line out, and we did that. This here is the barrel. So in the movie, the star is going to go over the American side of the falls, or somehow it's going over the American side of the falls. This was the contraption that they built to put him in to film, to show him doing some kind of like going around the falls or going over the falls. This was a big contraption. We'll just keep rolling those pictures right now. Here's the inside. So basically, it only took, it was a blown-out coil on the reset of the unit in the center. So we changed that out. This is some of the pictures, the artwork that they did for the set directions. I just threw it in here. They have everything in this movie. They have strippers. They have priests who have gone crazy. They have mad scientists. And they have, I can't remember, some dreams. So the night of the shoot, I came in, and here's the machine, all lit up. I put the 455s in the back glass so that it would twinkle correctly. We got it all up and running. They were so impressed with this that they decided to refilm the opening sequence, the middle sequence, all the sequences where the machine was in, because now it was working correctly. We got the film. It came out pretty well. They were very excited. The playfield still looked kind of funny, but they did the work they could do. I think we have a few more pictures here. It was funny. They started filming the shot with the actor, and they said all the balls kept draining. He says, I don't know how to play pinball. So they said, does anybody here know how to play pinball? And they said, well, this guy does. He's the guy who fixed the machine. So in the movie, you'll see some post-pass, some flipper shots, and some pop. They're mine. They asked me to play it. And then it was funny. They're like, okay, we're done with this. Let's bring the actor back in. You know, get rid of me and bring this guy back in to make himself look good. So, and the production on this is already finished. They wrapped it up. This was the final night of the shoot. That's the actor with the tie on it. And we put this together. And that's his wife, who is the director. This movie stars Matthew Broderick, is in it, and a bunch of others. It's due to be released in 2014. Now, the nice thing about this is I contacted them, and I told them that I'm coming to Pinball Expo, and I asked them for a trailer. So we have a teaser trailer. However, there is no pinball stuff in it because they hadn't finished that for production yet, but this is just a teaser trailer, and we're going to have sound on this, Martin. So here we go.
We're getting up to it now. Manal, you say that...
Except New Tesla, if you can make that invisible, you can make anything invisible.
All right.
So we proceeded to prepare for this.
So that was the American side. So this is deemed to come out in 2014. I've also told them that if they would like in 2014 to have a special screening, to contact me for the pinball fans. So maybe we can work something into Pinball Expo for number 30 to have a full screening of the movie. We'll see what we can do. Any questions?
When am I moving to Hollywood?
Never. I'll let them move to me. Yes, David.
You look it up on IMDb. You have an internet connection.
What for the? Yeah, we can look it up. They have a website actually up already where they're talking about all of the fuller. It's called The American Side. The story is that in brief, the pinball is the hero prop. It's in the opening credits. The the detective seems to think better when he's playing a pinball machine because he says, I mindlessly, can dissolve a case by working on this pinball machine. So he actually figures out, while playing on a pinball machine, some drawings that he found that were supposed to be from Tesla and that all of a sudden make all the sense because the backlit of the pinball machine is now lighting up something that he didn't see before. So he sees that, and it leads to this whole thing about, and it's a little bit, like I said, it's got everything in it that you're going to want in it, from strippers to crazy priests to, whatever, but done pretty well. And this is just a rough draft of the teaser trailer, so they're still going to be in production for the rest of this year, cleaning and making it look pretty good.
I think saying a line like, you can't begin to understand this, is probably not a good promotional line.
Yes. I guess. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, guys. We have the American scene, and we'll give it back to Rob.
Dave, we're going to give it back to you, only because I want you to continue what you started yesterday, and that's about some of the tips you had on cleaning games, fixing games, and maybe we can continue that while we wait for our next speaker.
Well, I also have another associate in my teacher. I'll call him my teacher. There's Clay Harold is sitting here too. So, I thank Clary for all the instruction videos that he's had over the years too, the Topcast and all his hard work for the community. So I'm very thankful for that. And not only that, he is also a Pinball Hall of Fame honoree. He's in the Pinball Hall of Fame here at the Expo. That was a few years back too. So. Cleaning tips and tricks. We went over a whole bunch of things yesterday. We went over sonic cleaners. We went over polishers. We went over even tricks for operators. Because since getting into the community over the last couple of years, I've started operating machines. I found that I don't have enough room for all my kids, but putting them out and making me some money so I can buy more kids is a good thing, or be able to bring myself to Expo and to other places, and basically semi-retire. That's what I did earlier this year. I semi-retired. I have a small part-time job working now, but and then I do the pinball on the side. And I'd like to fully retire, but I just got to convince my wife that I can do that and sell enough machines to do that shortly. So, tips and tricks. Let me think. One little thing that I like to do, and I have this in my toolbox, and I didn't have it in there yesterday because I know where I left it, it's on the bench, is a simple wiring harness from Pinball Life. Okay, it's a 555 socket. What I've done is I take the ends off and I put two alligator clips on it. Okay, and I put a nice fresh bulb in it. So when I'm working on a machine and the light's not lighting, what I do is I put the alligator clips across, and if that light turns on, then I know the bulb is, I'm putting the bulb in, it's going to be good. I'm changing the bulb out and it's still not working. I want to find out if it is the socket or if it is something else. And that way I can futz with it enough to see if it's working. It's a good way, a little test trick to have that little wire. I'm trying to think of anything else. Ron?
What I've done too in that case, so if you don't have the light bulb, especially with like Williams sides, I do this a lot, too, trying to figure out which transistor is actually bad on which side. You can leave one side on, but take the other side off and just use one pin and go down each pin on the row or the column, whichever way, and you can narrow down which side is actually bad.
There are a lot of... I come to the point when I work on pinball machines that the simplest thing is usually what is going to be the problem with it. And another thing is Dr. Scott was talking in his seminar about the stuff in the bottom of the game. When I walk into repair a machine, I look in the bottom of the machine, and that's kind of like the evidence of what has gone wrong, because those parts just didn't get thrown in there. They could have fallen off. There could have been a broken part at some point. It gives me a little history of the machine. In fact, earlier this year, I had a guy who had a Jurassic Park, The Lost World Edition, and he had the plastic target, and it was just literally just blown apart. And the switch was fine, the other part was fine, but the whole housing around it was gone. And, trying to find that part, it's a little tough. sure enough, all the parts for that switch were in the bottom of the game. So I just took a little thin water super glue, put it back together. I put the whole switch back together, put a couple wraps of black tape around it, fitted it all. It actually went all back together and worked properly. Put it back in the machine, and he was happy with that. Is it going to break again? Yes. Is that an easy part to get? No, because that was a kind of a weird switch mechanism that Stern or Sega used at that point, which was very cheap. So I could replace it with just a regular switch, but he wanted the aesthetics of the original switch, so that's why I had to replace it with the plastics. So any other questions, or we can open up this to Q&A, too, if you guys have any questions. Yeah.
If this was recommended to me by a full-time operator, then I get an old machine covered with mildew, whatever, 15. I disassemble it, spray it down with a sweat cutter, and hose it off. Literally go to a car wash and repair it. That's where I'm at. And hose it off. And then blow it dry. It's worked for me so far.
You hose down the machine. Is that what you're trying to say? You just take a fire hose and hose it down? No. What kind of machine are we talking about? Are we talking about EM or solid state? Oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that either. In fact, that doesn't look like it's got a good shock on it, and that's why it did that. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You know what I do with EMs? I'll tell you a little trick. And I touched on this last year. The EM machine, especially Gottlieb's, talking to Wayne Nines a few years back, if you take the bottom panel out of the pinball machine, okay, and you take the head and you put it on a table on the opposite side, you can connect the head to the bottom panel, okay, and you can plug it in and you can operate both halves, the back head and the bottom panel. You can go through and clean everything to make sure it's working correctly. Okay, and that makes it a lot easier than reaching into the bottom of the machine and working on it. It was designed so that, you know, you can actually score points on the relays, because all it's asking, that's from the play field sending it down. So you can connect the head to the bottom panel on the workbench and go through all the relays and all the stuff there, making it a lot easier. And what I do before I do that is when I open up the machine, I take my air compressor. After removing all the key parts, I will blow out all the dust, all the dirt, all the crap out of the machine. Then I'll work on it. Yes?
You take the bottom panel loose from most games, lift it up and rotate it about 30, 45 degrees and set it on the mechanical side.
Yep, you can do that. Yeah, yeah, just picking it up and moving it to the top of the play field or where the play field would be and then rotating it and then work on it, plugging it right into the back head. You can do it that way too, sure. I just find that I don't have a lot of room for the cabinet sometimes, so just taking that bottom panel out, throwing it there, and then I have my bench with all my tools. Makes it a little bit easier for me, too. So, keep going. Okay. I'm always keep going here. Let's see. Other tips and tricks. Go ahead.
You've got an EM, and it's working really well, and there's one switch out in the play field, and you think it's going back to the scoring motor. What's the best way to approach debugging something that you think is a scoring motor problem?
Schematics is the key point. Wire codes, watch the wires, follow it back. I'm the kind of person that looks at things at the eye level. So when I take that panel out, I like to look at all the switches. And if it's supposed to make or it's supposed to break, you can tell. I mean, if you've got a switch that isn't making contact, and when it's operating and it's still not making contact, and when it closes it's still not making contact, there's something wrong there. It's got to do something. Or if it's supposed to go the opposite way and then make contact, that's great. But normally those coils go back and forth. To that point, I want to talk about a tip that Wayne Nines told me too. There are two ways to set a coil on a reset bank. Okay, there's two ways to adjust it. You know, you can have that little metal thing. But the screw on the back side that screws in also has some significance. If the screw is tightened up so tight, then the magnet will use that screw and it will also pull it a little bit too hard or not pull it enough. So make sure that screw is backed out just so it's snug, not over tight, because I had a couple games where they were just like that coil always buzzed. It's because somebody tightened that screw down so tight, it was just energizing, and it was just causing so many problems. So just make sure, just test those little points. You know, some of the old-timers, unfortunately, they're not coming to the expo, but they knew more wealth of knowledge of these machines, so to impart it to everybody is the way to do it. I think I'm still going here. Yes. We're going to talk about a question to the left. Go ahead, John.
Could I just speak about the amusement stuff?
Sure. What are you going to talk about? Come on up. John's actually, you got an operation here in Halifax, right? You're putting machines out in location, or no, you have an old room.
Yeah. So. Hi. What I find, like in Nova Scotia, we have like a big film industry. So some of the guys that collect pinball machines or amusement devices, they find it's an extra way of making some money and promoting the product out there. So one of the local guys in my area actually works with a film company. So he gets paid to do the carpentry stuff and the set design, stuff like that. Then he makes money. The film company actually gives him a truck to haul his gear back and forth to do filming. So it's like an added way of getting the product out there. We just had a show last year. It was like an old early rollerblade like arena thing, and they used a bunch of video games in the set. So a lot of stuff out there, it's pretty good to get the product promoted to the younger generation so they can still see like the old arcade days and game room stuff that we grew up with. So if you get stuff and you know they're filming in your area, you might want to contact the filming crew, see if you can rent out your gear or get rid of some stuff if they want to destroy it and it's junk, get rid of it, make some money.
In that same regard, when I did this, the movie here, that was off of Facebook. Believe it or not, a client of mine, Nick Lane, he's a pinball. Small story on this guy. He bought a pinball machine for himself for his for Christmas 1 year. Got it from Stern, brand new, broken. So I fixed it for him. I didn't charge him anything. Somebody later told me, Trent told me, so I could send the bill into Stern, they'll pay it. But that goodwill toward the customer led to him hosting parties, now kicking off tournaments and so forth. Well, he was scrolling along Facebook because that's what every young kid does nowadays, is spend all their life on Facebook. And he found out about the movie and he said, hey, Dave, why don't you follow up on this? So I did, and that's how that led. So that was just nice for him. But in the same regard with operating machines, yes, get them out in public. I think, Clay, you still putting machines out in public? No? Well, you got a museum now. So that's a good, that's the next step. So I think we're good.